This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark, I am so excited for our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
They're a writer and performer. It's Eric Burnett.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
Long time friend.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed in our hello for the first time, the low part in hello is the lowest note.
We scoop up.
Yeah, but it's like we're saying the word low and the note is also the lowest, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting, Mark.
It's a little bit of lyrical whimsy.
Still aware, still noticing things, not just
you
on autopilot.
You should never stop discovering things.
That's true.
Never stop learning, they say.
Never.
Well, I was going to ask you guys about, like, because you guys have both, like, put up shows in, like, New York City.
Yes.
Something the documentary is about, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of that, like, resonate with you in terms of, like, oh, that does, like, this? I've heard of the town hall, but does that venue mean anything to you guys in, like, 2022?
Yeah. I've done shows at town hall. I've never produced a show there, but I've been in shows.
Well, like,
there.
What's, like, the vibe? Like, what's, like, the, would you say? Like, what's, like, what kind of shows would you say, like, they're notable for?
Town hall is such a big venue that it's not something like a UCB or like a Groundlings or like that has like a sort of its own vibe as a space. You know what I mean? Like it's just like rented out. Like the shows I did there, actually the two shows I've done there were both award shows. So they're sort of like bigger
award-winning shows or award shows?
Award shows.
I see.
Some of which I was performing in an award-winning show an award show. So it's sort of like it's like one of those sandwiches that's eating itself kind of thing.
Like Inception.
Exactly.
Shows within shows.
Have you ever done anything at town hall or seen anything at town hall, Eric?
No, I don't think I have. I know where it is and I know that it's like a serious place.
Oh, it's serious.
Yeah, I think it's real serious. I think it's very like highbrow. Yeah.
like I'll have like, and they would have debates with like Norman Mailer in the 70s or something, screaming at a feminist, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's probably, I'm sure that happened actually.
Maybe they did. That was the movie Town Hall. That's why I said that. Bloody Town Hall. I watched that on the Criterion Channel. That's exactly what that's about. It's all coming together.
That
okay.
makes sense. That I makes
got
sense.
It.
While watching this, I was very impressed that someone who was 24 years old was producing a show at Town Hall. That seemed like very impressive to me.
Yeah. And I think that that's his only, it makes it sound like that's his only job, right? Like he just does, he just produces pageants, Jack Sabrina.
I think so. Or at least this thing is his. I don't know. Did he like travel around and do them? I don't think so.
Maybe I feel like he said that in the beginning that like, this is all he does is just like go around and put together these shows, but maybe not. Maybe this is just once a year he does this.
Hmm.
I couldn't figure it out.
Couldn't figure it out. We'll never know.
he like drops clues throughout the movie about how he earns money. He says at one point, like one of my promotional parties, but I don't know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
What that means.
Well, we're talking about, well, we should maybe at this point just get into it.
Let's
today,
get into it.
We are talking about the movie The Queen. John, what's the deal with The Queen?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with The Queen. It's a documentary film directed by Frank Simon, narrated by Flawless Sabrina. And it depicts the experiences of the drag queens organizing and participating in the 1967 Miss All-American Camp Beauty Contest held at New York City's Town Hall. It was released in the United States on June 1968 to generally positive reviews. Renata Alder of the New York Times called it an extraordinary documentary that shows us another America. And then in a piece written after the film's restoration in 2019, Jeremy Portwood of Rolling Stone called the film extraordinary because it captures so much, doubling as a time capsule of a generation's innocence and fashion-forward sophistication. You can tell why it functioned as a template for many future gender nonconforming people looking for some sort of pre-internet guide through the confusing maze of sexuality and gender. So that's the deal with The Queen.
So, John, you picked this movie. Why The Queen?
It's a movie that I discovered maybe 10 years ago for the first time. Like I had seen Paris is Burning, which is very much sort of like a sister movie to this, met hundreds of times. But this one I discovered recently, I think it's so fascinating and really entertaining. And sort of back to what we were saying, talking about just a few minutes ago, what I love about these documentaries, like from like older documentaries, is that they don't hold your hand at all. Like they literally just like a documentary. If you make it today, like you'll have talking heads, you'll have chyrons for everyone who's on stage, and everyone will like explain
that's
to you
every
everything
documentary.
That's
just to say, just to chime. That's not every documentary.
A lot
of
most
like
documentaries
that.
For the majority of them. Whereas I feel like the documentaries from like the 60s and 70s are just like just turn the camera on and the audience, you just have to figure it out. You know what I mean? It's as if you just like walked into a room and you were like, what's going on in this room? And no one
cinema
tells you
verite.
Anything. Exactly. So it has more of that feel about it, which is why there are things where like, we're not quite sure what that is or what's going on here. But I love that about it. I just love this sort of way that you can sort of get lost in it or sort of, you know, go off on it.
Real fly on the wall.
Exactly. So I don't know. I just think it's a really fun movie. It's really fascinating. It's something that feels like we should be talking about. Obviously, we're two old queens. This is The Queen.
Sure.
It's a real A to B. But
you thought long and short about what movie to pick.
What can we do? What can we watch? So yeah, so I was just sort of excited. I thought it'd be a fun excuse to watch it again.
Fabulous. How what about you, Eric? Have you seen this before?
Heard I had not. No, I had heard of it and was aware of it. And I knew what it was about loosely, and I had heard somebody had told me about the ending of it, which I think we'll get to, but yeah, I was really excited to see it because it's something that I keep every time I like would hear about it, I'd be like, all right, I gotta watch that, and then for some reason forget. I don't know.
Sure.
Right.
Right. I gotta see this 1968 documentary. It's hard to like.
Oh, look, something sparkly.
Yeah. Or I can watch YouTube videos of someone playing a video game that I'm having trouble with. So what did you think of it, Eric?
I loved it. I thought it was like so super fun. And like everything that John said, you're like, it really just like starts in the middle. Kind of, you know, just with like, you're just in this room in this apartment. You're like, who's that guy without a shirt in the background? And then who's he talking to on the phone? And I think it's his mom.
Maybe. I think so. Yeah.
I think he's talking to his mom. Yeah. And the, I don't know. It's just, I love New York and I love like old New York. And so just all the like everything about it was just like, oh, that's what people, wow, that's what documentaries are for, I guess. That's what people look like.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, also like the people in it, they're not as savvy as people are now with like cameras and stuff like that. So you can tell, especially early on, some people will walk into the room and be like, oh, there's a camera, and get like a little kind of weird about it, but like people don't feel like as savvy or like performy for the camera.
For a movie that's mostly like drag queen performers, nobody seems to be trying to use this as a platform.
No,
you know what I mean? Like nobody's trying to get their moment in the.
No one's pushing a t-shirt or
their merch, right? Yeah. Here's my catchphrase.
They're really like, they all kind of like, you see them all notice the camera and then they just go about their business. So they're not even like, it's not even like they're trying to, I guess in that day, there was no place to go. Yeah. There's no way to like brand yourself for a larger audience. So that wasn't on anybody's mind.
That's true.
How about you, Mark? What are you bringing to the queen?
I had heard of it when like the restoration came out a few years ago, but I'd never seen it. So this is my first time. I did like it. It's fun. And it is like just fascinating. I like it. The cinema, the style of that, how it's just like lets everything speak for itself. Like, is it like a amazingly well-directed movie? Not particularly. It's pretty paint by numbers, I would say, in terms of like a documentary. Sure. But the subject matter is fascinating. And it is just fun to see like, oh, gay people have always been around. There's always been a bitch. There's always been, you know what I mean? Although like, oh, I feel like I know these people, you know, there's something so familiar. And like, oh, it's because it's as gay people, we so regularly see like legacies or like who came before. There's so little representation of that. So it's refreshing to see that. That said, I do think the movie itself is guilty of what the pageant does in terms of like ignoring the queens of color and Crystal LaBeija and all, because the movie too ignores them until the very end of the movie when Crystal LaBeija finally has her storms off, because like she came in fourth,
right?
Which is outrageous. And like, but the movie also, she doesn't get a word in until like the movie never gives any queen of color anything to say until they literally have to scream.
I think part of it might have been is that Crystal LaBeija like wasn't staying at the hotel. So yeah, like, there was a lot of time where
she was getting ready at her apartment, probably.
But there were other queens of color in the hotel because we saw them in the hotel room.
Yes.
But we never get to know. They never say a word in the film. Yeah, I'm just saying, I do think it's a good movie, but I think the movie itself is also guilty of what this pageant seems to be guilty of in ignoring the queens of color, essentially. Which, you know, white gay men are guilty of that all the time. You know, we could be racist and clueless too. So just in terms of that, I was like, that was a little unfortunate. But, you know, what can you do? Well, Eric and John, as you may or may not know, and John, I really hope you do, we're looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, John, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel or choose a pre-existing category. So this is our current top five gayest movies ever. This is where we're at. In fifth place, and I got to say, I'm ready for a shakeup. In fifth place with an 89.70%, The Apple. In fourth place with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In third place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. In second place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And in first place with a 94.83%, Female Trouble. So John, Eric, both of you, how do you guys think this is, how do you think the Queen's going to do?
I think it's going to score high.
I think it's going to score high. I think it definitely has a chance of cracking the top five.
I think
part of it,
too.
I think a lot of it has to do with the wheel and the luck of the wheel.
Yeah. Will the wheel be on your side? Mm-hmm. Well, all our previous categories are so attuned to finding out what is truly gay in something.
That's true.
I don't see how it could have possibly hurt it. Well,
no. Who knows? We'll see.
I was thinking about this last night. I was watching like, I'm fine with something to get knocked out of that top five. Just come on.
Well, it would have to be The Apple, but yes.
Well, we just need gayer movies up there. So let's get, the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So Eric, how would you rate the Queen on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
I think it has to be. I don't want to start. It has to be 100, right?
I would think so. It's primarily maybe 99% gay, and like that one poor woman who's always like looking for a wig.
There's one woman looking for a wig, and then there was one guy who seemed to work at Town Hall.
There's a couple people. Yeah.
And there's the people on the street. This is almost the anti what we do of a normal movie of like, well, there's got to be like, somebody gay
someone
there.
Walking down the streets of New York had to be straight.
The band, I think the band during the pageant was probably not.
They're like, what the hell's going on? What did we sign up for?
Yeah. And there's somebody, there's like a woman. Yeah. There's people working at town hall who I think are just like they're there.
Right. Just
the people who like take the tickets. They're probably gay too.
Right. A gay ticket taker
in New York City.
Never happened.
So I'm going to say 100. I'm going to say 100.
100.
Yeah. I'll also say 100 because all the characters that we know are gay.
Yeah. I mean, it's 100. I don't know how else, if this isn't, I don't know what is.
Okay. I'm glad. I didn't want to come out of the gate too strong and then seem like I was.
No, do it.
Okay.
Pandering?
Yeah.
There'll be chance for pandering later. Don't you worry. All right. Our next category, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons?
Crystal LaBeija.
Crystal LaBeija,
co-founder of Ball Culture. It was like these kind of pageants that led her to form Ball Culture.
I feel like it was the next day that.
Yeah, right. Fuck these people. Like,
but that pageant.
Because also you do see like these pageants, like, they seem kind of boring. They're just like walking. You know what I mean? Like they don't seem like for something called Miss Camp. They're just pretty much like coming out as pretty ladies and walking and turning.
Well, I think part of that is just what the documentary showed us, because we didn't see any of their actual performances. We saw some of them sort of like rehearsing them or doing bits of them in their hotel rooms. But we didn't really see the show. Like we saw the rehearsing opening numbers and all that stuff. But there wasn't any footage of the show. I don't know why they did that, especially since another thing we haven't mentioned, this movie is 1 hour and 8 minutes.
Which was great. Thank you.
Which, of course.
Love it.
So, yeah. So, like, obviously, they could have shown so much more and it wouldn't feel like, oh, this is, we're overstaying our welcome here.
Or if, God forbid, did a montage. Can you imagine? Oh, my God. Oh. In a documentary? It'll never work. Also Pepper LaBeija, a young Pepper LaBeija.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also Andy Warhol.
Yeah. I think we could say Flawless Sabrina. I did some research. Sabrina. I clicked on Flawless Sabrina's name in the Wikipedia. Got a whole page.
She's got a page.
Really?
She's considered a pioneer for transgender people and drag queens. And there's poster of Flawless Sabrina in Pink Flamingos. So when John Waters is giving you a tip of the hat, you're doing
you're
pretty
an icon.
Good. You're an icon.
Also in the... I looked at the cast list on IMDb and I think Edie Sedgwick was there. She's listed on the cast list.
There are a couple people listed on the IMDb
like
cast
George
list.
Clinton.
George Clinton was icon.
There. Dorian Corey, they said, was Dorian there Corey. And I didn't see her, but yeah.
So
she was too busy stuffing someone into a trunk, I guess.
Right. Probably.
Was Dorian Corey in the pageant?
I didn't recognize her if she was.
I mean,
part of me wondered if someone on IMDb was just like, oh yeah, that drag queen documentary. This one's in it.
Probably. She would have been so much younger.
It's not inconceivable that Dorian Corey is somewhere attended this function.
I think you would say this movie itself is a gay icon.
Sure. I mean, I don't think it's as essential as Paris is Burning, but
I think Paris is Burning is definitely a better documentary, but I feel like it's like one of the few recordings of that moment of that time.
Oh, sure. There's like pre-AIDS, like New York City life.
It's like, yeah, pre-Stonewall.
Is loving hearing them talk about like their families and their lives and who knows and stuff like that. You know, like it was so fascinating just how far we've come in those conversations. That,
absolutely.
Like, we have.
The lighting was so bad in the 60s, though. Ugh, like those hotel room, that lighting in the hotel room. Like, how does anybody sleep or relax? Like, everything looked, the lighting was so like grim and like unflattering for everyone concerned.
Absolutely. I remember when I was very young, my grandfather had like a home video. It wasn't video. It was like a home camera. And every time he would put it on, he also had to put on
a film camera.
Yeah, felt that was like so bright and like painful bright. So like there's a lot of like home videos from when I'm very young where like the camera will start and everyone in the room will just be like recoiling like they're a vampire in the sun.
Well, you guys are all like
so bright,
you know, white.
We're very pale.
You're like salt.
You are,
with the light. Yeah.
The Flynns.
Can't stand up to wattage.
That's true. So I think if the lighting
like a moth
was
from a flame
was better.
I mean, I think it was accurate. Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like that. I like that though, because like, oh, it does feel like a real place. A little grittier. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, what do you think? Go ahead.
This sorry. Is gay. Gay. I feel like the hotel they were in was like not a fancy place.
I don't think when you have four people to a room.
No.
Yeah.
That also seemed like a nightmare to me.
Yeah, I was trying to picture how it all worked.
They didn't have Airbnb back then.
It wasn't just four adults. It was four adult drag queens in a room. Mm-hmm.
Someone was like trying to sleep at one point with just their head in a pillow in like a bright room where there's a film crew there. You can't imagine. Well, these people were all in their 20s. I get their sense. That's when you're supposed to be doing that stuff.
But that's the other funny thing, too, is they all look like they're in their late 30s.
Oh, yeah. When
skincare has come a long way.
Yeah. Jack says he's 24. I was like, oh, that's yeah. And then some of them also look like they're 14.
Yeah.
Right. It's like they're you just jump.
Yeah, there's a gap. Oh, this is gay icons.
Yeah.
Well, then based on the lighting in the hotel room, my gay icon score is I'm gonna say 84.
84.
I'm going to say 95 because just the whole thing, I think, is just such an iconic moment. You know what I mean? Like, there's no other sort of that time contemporaries for it.
Okay.
Sure. I'll give it an 88. Give it an average of 89, which is 11 points lower than All About Eve.
That yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense. All right. Our next category, the queer gays. We got a queer gay. I mean, I think it's pretty.
Was this category previously the male gays?
It was, but now we're being more inclusive and like representative of the term gay. I don't know. I feel like this director comes off very straight to me. And it's definitely not. The director comes off very straight to me.
Oh.
Yeah, there's nothing.
He doesn't like sexualize anyone.
Yeah.
No, it's just a documentary. It's like we're filming what we can before like we run out of film. Like, and those that you couldn't film right. forever. You probably got like 12 minutes before you have to change the canister.
Okay. I have some examples of like where I did find the queer gaze in this movie. Okay. And one of them, because even when they're like lounging around in their underwear, it doesn't feel like hot. I didn't feel like lustful.
No.
No.
It's a kiki, not a kai kai, I think. Yes.
Thank you. Important Thank distinction. You. Put that on your wedding invites.
So when we first meet Richard Harlow, they're walking around the street. There's like these two guys who like check.
After he gets directions from that one guy.
Yeah, he gets directions from the old man on the bench. And then these two guys like, check Harlow out in a, like a way that their gaze is very horny. I think.
I thought their gaze was like, what the fuck is that? I thought they were like straight guys, like kind of like what? I don't what. That's a gay person. I thought they were like clearly straight guys who were disturbed.
I think they were disturbed because like, it made their like made him be like, I almost got feeling? A boner. Yeah, but yeah, I think they would have done it.
You think they would have? I mean, people who are most offended by gay people are the ones the most intrigued. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then also there are just purely hateful people out there, too, who do not have any latent homosexual tendencies.
They're just hatred forward. Yes.
Yeah. I think if they could have been assured that God was going to not watch for a few minutes.
God's got his hands full. There's a flood in Idaho.
Now's
the time. Go. A dam broke. Literally. In so many ways.
I think it's Jack's partner. There's like a guy in the movie who's like a kind of hot looking, square jawed person that's kind of in the background. And I feel like he's really.
Was the guy in the suspender or the tie? It was like a tie, like a skinny black tie. There's one guy who looks like he's helping someone get dressed at some point. Like there are like attractive people sprinkled throughout.
Yeah. I feel like this guy that I'm thinking of is like when they're rehearsing the dance numbers and there's those like people who look underage.
Children?
They're
called children.
They're children.
They're presenting children.
They look like they're like 14 or 16 years old and they're twinks. Dancing. Yeah, they're twinks. I feel like that somebody's like watching them.
Were you watching them?
I was watching the documentary, but I wasn't watching them.
They're in it. So.
There was a cloud over them. You couldn't make through. You knew they were there. Sounds like you were watching them.
There was a flood in Idaho. It was okay. I could do it.
It was tough.
I don't know. There was something about, I don't know. Maybe it was just the way, because that was the only time that they were showing anybody being like sort of sexy, like, because sure. They were like shaking their butts.
Oh, know? Yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying.
Like, it was a lot of like, for all the rest of the performance, like you said, was all like the bathing suit competition, the gown competitions are just very like
right
catalog models.
Right.
And then
right.
Those dance numbers, they were like being like, we're sexy. So I don't know.
We're doing a can-can.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's sort of like a glamourness that they're like trying, that they're like working.
It's just, they're just
towards.
Going for like pretty, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is crazy. I like the way it's like, I was like, oh, things haven't changed. Like, the pretty queens on Drag Race always have like more followers. Like the pretty white queens tend to get more followers on Instagram than the queens of color. I'm like, things really haven't changed that much. Not enough. Like they have changed in so many ways, but then in other ways, not at all.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, what do we think for the queer gaze? This movie clearly directed by a straight man entirely. Maybe not. I don't know. It seemed like it was directed by a straight. I just looked at all his other movies and there was something about like coal miners.
Like, he doesn't there's never been a gay coal miner.
He's been a coal miner's daughter.
Yeah.
And the people don't have daughters.
The canary is kind of gay. The canary and the
that
coal miner.
That's yes.
True.
That canary. But that's who they send in first. They're like, let's see if you die.
The coal mine would be a great name for a gay bar.
Yeah.
There's like the mine shaft.
Sure.
So yeah, the coal mine.
The coal mine. Please welcome. And the canary is the host.
Filthy. Yeah.
There you go.
Please welcome to the stage. A canary.
And it's just an actual bird. Yeah. People go nuts.
And then once you die, the show again.
Yes, tweet, tweet. Yes, bitch.
Okay, the male gaze, the queer gaze, I'm going to say 32.
32.
I think just because there's gay people throughout, I don't know. I'm going to go 55.
Completely ignoring the category. It's just coming up with a number. Fair enough. I'll give it a 37. Giving it a 41.33, which is 9 points lower than All About Eve. But that had Eve. Mm-hmm. All right. Our next category, entrances with pizzazz. Well, there's I thought Mario Montez, that queen singing down the aisle.
Yeah.
Just in that wild falsetto.
She's in a bathtub and
I thought she was the Barbafella of 1967.
Definitely.
Mario Montez was not competing, right?
I couldn't. I didn't get that sense.
No.
But in a way, aren't we always competing?
I'm going to have to think about that for a little while.
Think about it. I did like that the small town queen, Jerry, just like he described himself as just bursting into a room saying howdy.
Oh, yeah. like, who am I kidding? I didn't knock.
That was fun.
I also, this is like, I feel like John Flynn, you are the midway point between Jerry and Trinity the Tuck. Like,
Southern at all, but okay.
If you wanted to,
we're regional.
Yeah. If you wanted to cast Jerry and Trinity the Tuck as siblings in a movie, you'd have to cast John Flynn to be like, oh, I get they are all related.
It's like a Venn diagram.
Okay. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
There's some sort of like Cronenberg fly accident with like transportation pod. John Flynn would pop out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
There are some similarities there. You're welcome.
I did think I liked it that crown the winner puts on before leaving the theater. Like that crown was like the essence of pizzazz. I also think we could say exits with pizzazz. I would say
absolutely. We've done
Crystal storming off the stage.
Right.
Before that, they're going, Crystal, where are you going?
Now is not the time. But also like there's that whole montage where they're talking about like, don't just drop it. There's someone will be there right away to pick up
your page. Your page will pick. That was a lot of rules.
And just a lot of even like curtains opening and there the queens are the finalists. Like it's all showmanship.
Can I say that like the entrances of them all into, I think it's Jack's apartment or no, it's maybe Joey's apartment.
Yeah.
When they're all coming
first
in.
Meeting.
I feel like, it's so much anti-pizzazz the way they walk in that I want to give some points for it. They all walk in so like nonchalantly and in a way that like is very different from like the workroom on Drag Race.
With like, yeah, I came here to slay and you're all bitches.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's just like these mild-mannered, one mild-mannered entrance after another that I think culminates into like, it is pizzazz.
They don't tell you like why all these people are coming to the apartment. At first, I'm like, oh, they're just having like a little dinner party. They're like, oh, there's more people. Oh, there's a lot of people. They're planning the thing. They're planning how the show is going to go.
Yeah. I think also like it must have been so different for them back then just because they're like, I'm sure they all were like, I'm the only person or like one of the few people I know don't be like never been to New York, don't have a sense of what they're walking into. Like what they did was so like brave in a way that is so not there. The hurdles, we emotional hurdles, even we don't have to like go over these, you know, we don't have to jump over these days.
Well, what do we think for entrances with pizzazz?
There's another. Okay. If you exits with pizzazz, I think that when Miss
Boston...
John
hates exits normally, but for some reason he's being okay with this. You should listen to the Phantom Thread episode if you want to listen to him.
Oh, when you were like, someone walked into a room and made no noise. You were like, that's pizzazzy.
And he collapsed over the dummy.
It had nothing to do with the entrance, but sure.
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
Anyways, Eric, what were you saying?
When Miss Boston, I think it's who it is, just opts not to do the bathing suit competition and to just do a gown. Remember this?
I don't know.
They do the bathing suit competition and then the one who sings Honey Bun.
Yeah.
Hotel, that queen, I think, is like a little bit bigger and did not feel comfortable in a bathing suit. So Sabrina announces that contestant will not do a bathing suit, will just do a gown. So she comes out and she does a walk. And then like, as she's exiting stage, she like bumps into the curtain in like a, in like a clumsy way.
Do you think it was like intentional? Like the way that like sometimes a performer will like trip and then you're like, oh, who's that person? Yeah.
Jerry Lewis on her hands.
I think it was just like a flummox, but I'm going to give that some pizzazz.
Sure. It reveals character.
It is. Yeah. And like, she like shrugged, like a quick, like little, like, ooh, like laugh.
Did I do that? Sorry, I didn't see you there. I'm flirting with a curtain now, I guess. I don't know. How long do I maintain this personality?
Okay. Entrances with pizzazz. I'm going to say 68 for the year it came out.
I'm gonna go.
Oh, because that's also the movie coming out, I think, was an entrance with pizzazz.
Sure.
Like, this movie coming out.
Broke records at the movie theater it was first played at. I think it's really high. I mean, some queen comes on, enters like in the aisle in a bathtub held aloft by four guys.
That one's fun.
I'm giving it a 90.
90. I'll go 70.
You guys are crazy.
Give an average of 70. What's like a documentary? It's like a cinema verite documentary. It's not really like, you know, about
still have it.
I gave it a 70. That's the highest I've given in 4 weeks.
Okay.
And it's six. It's 6 points higher than All About Eve. You should be singing like a bluebird, John. All right. The next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence? He would have a tough time.
Yeah.
It's high. It's real high.
Although he'd probably love when they look like, oh, they look like mother when they're doing their drag. Is like, oh, just like 60s moms. You know what I mean? Like,
he's very flashy. But yeah,
I didn't think they were that. They look pretty much Betty Draper. Aesthetic.
I think that like the sort of like, we are everywhere sort of aspect of it.
Yeah.
Like when Jerry's talking about like the hometown and like,
I think it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something. Like, this is chilling.
And then the one who talks about like not being drafted, but then going home and writing a letter to the president to be like, I would like to be in the army.
That was Pepper LaBeija, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Okay, I also like the one queen who talked about like, I didn't know I was gay until the army recruiter told me. I was like, oh, I guess I am. Yeah, they told
yeah.
That was very funny.
Also the one who goes to the draft board and they're like, why are you gay? And he says, well, my mother and father made me this way.
Yeah.
I think that's like an anxiety scale that you can like for Mike Pence that he could make a mistake and cause it.
Yeah. What if there wasn't a flood in Idaho? And
just everywhere.
I just gave it to my impulses.
I'm going to say 100.
100.
I'll say 100 as well. I can't think of anything that he could find comfort in.
I'm going to say 90 because I don't think it's, I think there are more, it could have gone further. I think like there's not a lot of swearing. There's not drugs. It's not a lot of sex or eroticism. And it's also the past. So that in some ways that might be comforting distance, you know, like, oh, yeah. This doesn't happen mm-hmm. anymore. So okay. I don't think he's checking out Logo.
So I'll give, anymore, but yeah.
I'll give it a 90, give an average of 96.67, which is the highest we've had in 4 weeks, higher even than the invitation, which got an 84.
All right.
Ooh, all right. Our next category, Hell on Heels. How are we doing for feisty ladies? Well, we got Joey. Pretty bitchy for someone with a Band-Aid on their nose. They're so rude when they're like checking people in with a clipboard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, what's your name? What's your name?
Yeah. I asked for your name. Like, God. Yeah.
One moment where he said, Christ. Don't ask questions. We listen.
Yes.
What an asshole.
If you listen, you hear.
Yeah. It's like amazing.
There's also part in the beginning, more towards the end, when he's like talking about the rules of like, it's 5 points for this, 5 points for that.
Right.
That's, I think, Sabrina doing that. But there's one point where nobody makes a noise, but Joey shushes them. Like, I think shushing silence is really.
Shushing is rude. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's like no sound and you get. Shh.
But then ultimately, no one is more hell on heels than Crystal LaBeija in the end when she finally reads everyone to filth mm-hmm. in a beautifully cathartic,
operatic read.
Yeah, it's like, where was this the entire movie?
Right.
I also think that the woman trying to get a blonde fall for Harlow,
who says
that
it's like life or death.
Like,
this is life or death.
This is life or death.
Like she multiple times, she says it's life or death. Mm. I think, what about the, is it Miss Beatriz, the dressmaker? There's
you,
like a.
I think you know more than us these days.
You took more notes than we did. Yeah.
Madam, it's like, I don't know.
Oh, right. Her dress emporium or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, emporium. I loved her.
And she's like a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's just like, whatever, guys.
Yeah. I got 10 of these hats.
How big are your feet? Let's see what I got.
She's not very hellish, but she is.
She's no nonsense.
She's no nonsense. That's what you expect from a woman who works in like a New York costume shop.
Yeah.
You know?
Who probably like gets maybe an hour of sunlight a day.
Yeah. I do want to say that I think that Joey is also very bitchy for somebody who's like in flats during the performance. Yes.
Thank you.
And someone who could use a little height.
Sure.
Yeah. Even maybe in the hair, not even wearing a wig, I don't think.
Yeah.
But with the headset, it's tough.
It is.
Nature finds
however much work are you going to do when you put on the headset?
Madonna wore a headset and a wig.
But she was like around the sides. It wasn't over the top.
It certainly wasn't over the top.
No. To that ponytail.
Well, what do we think for Hell on Heels? Also, Flawless Sabrina, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, like all the rehearsals where she's like, and it's this, and it's this. And she's like, there's no, you know, like it's so like a rat-a-tatty, like old school choreographer.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say 94.
94.
I'm going to go 97.
97. I'll go 95. Give an average of 95.33, which is 3.33 points lower than All About Eve. Which makes sense.
Sure.
All right. Finally, the last of the canon categories. Eric, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The Queen to a gay person?
100.
Really? What would you say?
I would be like, oh, these are your ancestors too old.
Right.
These are like your, these are the people who paved the way so that you can have the,
yeah,
life you have now while we still can have it.
So far.
Yeah, I'd be like, this is really important. You should know what like these people did and what their lives were like, and even if it's just like kind of like glimpse into it, you know, or just like this one specific
Even if like weekend. You don't like love it, it's so important to just understand and know and to sort of see how far we've come.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will also give it 100.
I too will give it 100, giving it an average of 100, tying it with All About Eve, finally.
Okay.
All right, now we're into the wheel category. Spinning wheel.
Spinning through. So these are all categories previous guests have brought in. We've put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. Okay. So we're going to spin it twice, and whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. Then we have a listener wheel. So listeners have submitted categories. We're going to spin that, and whatever category comes up from that, we're going to use judge movie, and then that category will then be added to the main wheel. And then normally the guest will come up with a category because it's Queen's choice. I will come up with a category, or I also can choose one that already exists on the wheel if it doesn't come up.
But maybe we'll ask for Eric's 2 cents.
Maybe we'll have
what
Eric,
what does Eric think about John?
Exactly.
Maybe we'll,
okay.
All right.
I'm confused.
Makes sense.
We'll just go with
it'll
it.
Be
we'll
fun. Don't you?
We'll hold your hand the whole time, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna press the button and start this.
He's spinning it.
Damage. Hidden whispers.
Hidden from, whispers from the movie Damage.
Hidden whispers?
Yeah.
Not a lot of whispering in this movie.
I mean, there is some sort of hubbub of like, what's going on with Crystal? Where's she going? What's going on there?
But no one's whispering about it. Everyone's very loudly talking about it over a PA system.
Well, the mics weren't very good to pick up whispering.
I guess any whisper is hidden if you don't hear it.
That's true. That's how good they are.
So 100?
According to that logic. That's good to me.
I feel like also like backstage, there was a lot of whispering.
Sure.
Like when they're like...
when they're lined up and stuff.
Yeah, when they're lined up and getting ready to go out on stage. And then also like waiting for the curtain to come up on them. Because, you know, they kept showing them like getting in different formations behind the curtain and then waiting for, and they'd be like, let's take a look at our queens.
How long do you think the show lasted? Do you think it was like a 3-hour show?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah,
yeah, because right? I think they all had talent come. They all had
they all like, did like a solo turn. There was a couple numbers that they did. It's hard to know, get a sense of how many different numbers there were. But there definitely
they
was
did,
like an opening number, and
walk,
it seemed
talk,
like a
bathing suit, gown, makeup, and hairdo. Well, they got points for
those
get
the
5
yeah.
points for walk.
Oh
talk,
yeah,
bathing suit, gown, makeup, and hairdo, and then 10 points for beauty. So however that works, doesn't really tell us what the things they did though.
Hidden whispers. I also think that like to go back to my shushing silence, that whatever that moment, whatever Joey thought she heard to shush was a hidden whisper.
Sure.
You could also even say that like them being in the closet, you know, like talking about like who knows.
Oh yeah.
Family, so like that, there's some sort of hidden whisper in that, I think.
What do you think, Eric? If you have to put a number to it, 0 to 100.
0 to 100 again?
Yeah.
35.
I'm going to go 65.
Ooh. Based on the whispers we never heard.
Talk about.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'll give it a 32. Give it an average of 44. All right. Time to spin that wheel one more time, John.
Self-loathing.
Self-loathing.
There's not a lot, refreshingly.
No.
No one really seems to have too much self-loathing in this. John will try to make an argument for it. Let's go. Here, let's hear it.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to have an argument in a podcast where we talk about movies.
I'm just asking for it.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I can find some self-loathing in here.
Please.
Let's hear it.
I think that Harlow at the end is like...
Because she gets red to filth.
But then like very quickly is like, it's not Harlow's fault. Don't blame Harlow. Like, Crystal like is clear. Crystal is clear.
you know, who might have the most self-loathing is the woman trying to find that fall for the life of that situation. Yeah. Of all the people in the movie, she's the one. Like, if anything, that's kind of what's refreshing about this movie is that there isn't like, there's almost just the sense of community and fun. And like, we're putting on a
confidence,
show and like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like they are safe in this, they're with people like them for the most part, you know,
there's a little bit though, we could say Ms. Boston for not wanting to bathing suit.
Okay. There's some, I think that the guy that Harlow asked for directions on the bench seems to not like himself.
No.
And I feel like some of those members of the band were like, what the fuck is happening?
Why am I here?
Like, yeah, why am I here?
I think hateful people are sometimes the most confident, though. Unfortunately, So the jury's out on them, I would say, for myself.
Okay. So self-loathing, I'm going to say 29.
29.
I'm going to say, I also think like all of like that sort of like angry sort of like shushing, that to me feels like these people, it's like out of insecurity, which is,
I don't remember a lot of like the shushing was like 5 seconds, wasn't it?
But just like them like barking all their orders and being mean about like, it's this and you have to do this and don't mess it up and it's going to look perfect and da da da.
You're saying it comes from a place of insecurity?
Insecurity, yes. Because also like you're 24 and you're like producing this big show with all these moving parts and all these people. And so like in that way, it makes sense to me that being so young, even though like he is confident or she is confident, you know, and doing.
So what do you think maybe what we're seeing is a reaction to like self-load? Like I had a lot of self-loathing, but I had to get over it. I had to develop this.
Yeah, this is my mask. This is how I'm like, hiding it. Like if I'm barking orders, no one can question my authority or, you know. So I'll give it a 41.
41. Restraint. I'll give it a 25. Give an average of 31.67. All right, now it's time for the listener submitted category.
Okay, so here we go. It's a much smaller wheel, but here we go.
And if you would like to submit a category, listeners, go to the show description for the show notes, and there's the Google form.
G. Louise, food as character development.
Food as character development.
All right. They said, okay, this is the food as character slash sensualizing food as sexy. And this is from She Louise. I believe that is their Instagram handle. Like a rare, this is their category description. Rare steak equals dangerous, powerful, cereal, innocent, naive. Brunch equals so gay or low group of women. Basic, sexy food prep in control. Shitty food prep, incompetence. So just fabulous food representation. Food as character development. Does anyone eat in this movie?
No.
No, not before even a pageant.
I feel like we have food around more these days. There's more snacks probably than they, we have a lot more
sure,
snacks.
Sure.
Snacks
they do
have come a long way.
In the hotel, they call down and order 2 bottles of scotch and some ice. So I feel like that's sure. very character development in terms of like who they
it tells who, us who they are.
Yeah. State of mind.
Yeah. And it's like a class, it's like a, like they're not getting champagne or like, not to like gender liquors, but I feel like scotch is kind of like a bad, like a, it's a kind of like a duty drink.
Right. It's more of a dad drink.
Yeah.
Well, mom. They didn't have White Claw back then.
That's true.
No.
A hard seltzer.
Yeah. Where sales are dipping, thank God. People are trying them and they're realizing these things stink. So not a, just that scotch moment, which is another blink and you'll miss it.
Yeah.
And this is out of 100?
Yep. Correct.
I'm going to have to say 7.
7.
Yeah, I'll also go 7.
7. I'll show solidarity and go 7 as well.
Thank you.
Giving an average of 7. All right. I do like that category. I do think, because that is fun scene.
Yeah.
Like I could
side of food
totally because like when like I was thinking about like Mommy Dearest when she orders lunch steak. For them like 2 Waldorf salads and 2 rare and that like the power game in that when she's like then don't press on it it's like the juice is coming out like that is
I always
food
thought
is character
that was a great order too it was like oh that's a good order though a steak and a nice salad that is all you need really that's I don't need a carb.
And then, like, also, I feel like Showgirls uses a lot of food as character development.
Ice. We count ice as food, right?
Ice, and Showgirls, well, just like memories, like
vegetables.
Yeah, her fries, cheeseburger coke. Fries that then becomes
chips,
like
the chips. Chips.
Fajitas. We used to like to show a friendship. Yeah. So I could see like we just got a bad movie for that category but it, with a better movie we would have a good time delving
we'd
into
have a
it.
Great time
so kudos on the category
Ratatouille get out of here
yeah Julie and Julia
get out of here all right John the time has come for you what's your you got a hot pick what are you coming in what do you
so
got?
I'm thinking rather than adding a category because we have so many great categories
sure
so Eric tell me what you think about this one I'm thinking okay. from Fried Green Tomatoes Mary Sasson the category is bucking heteronormativity
sure is this my chance to pick up to come sure. up with a category
I mean you would just have to convince John essentially
which won't be too hard do you have a category idea
Yeah, that doesn't exist in your categories already.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's hear
based
it.
On this movie, Night People.
Ooh, I like this.
That there's like in the beginning, they're talking about like some drag queens sleep all day. They're night people. They just right. They know their bars. They know their YMCA. They know their favorite
corner.
Like
yeah.
Their corner. Yeah, they're night people. So I think that's a very like. Yeah,
it feels very like gay, like sort of like in the shadows.
Yeah.
I like that.
The Lost
a lot.
Boys would do very well in this.
Lost Boys well would do
this.
Well.
The Matrix would do very well in this.
Matrix mm-hmm. would do well in this.
Well, what do you want to do, John?
I think I will. I like that. I like Night People. Let's go with Night People.
Night okay. People, Night People. They know how to stay up late. Oh. So, Eric, what do you want to give the queen for Night? Also, the entire audience.
Yeah.
It's Night People.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There are unfortunate seats set during the day, though, out on the street, unfortunately.
Sure.
But it's a night person on the street.
It's a night person having to day walk.
Sure, like Blade.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 100 for Night People.
100.
I'll also say 100 for Night People.
I mean, yeah, these are night people. It's Andy Warhol. I don't mm-hmm. think he's getting up at 6 a.m., although maybe he is. Probably not. All right, got 100. All right, now we are into the bonus category. Extra!
So these categories, as the name implies, are bonus. So it's just extra points it gets. If it doesn't do well, it doesn't work against the movie, but it's 0 to 10, and that'll be percentage bonus points.
Wait.
Yeah.
Can we go back and can I re-examine self-loathing?
Sure.
Okay, because I forgot about
save
this
it for a therapist. Yeah.
So the song that they keep playing over and over again while they're right. walking is like that Am I Blue song that's like, I'm just
I'm a woman.
A lonely woman. It's all like, it's the saddest song. It's so unempowering. I want to add sure. some, I want to add some self-loathing.
All right.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, 29. What do you want to add?
I want to add 50 points for that song because it's so prevalent.
50 points for Am I Blue?
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to add another 15 points to my score for that song.
So you want to go from 41 to 56?
Yeah.
All right.
And I went from what? 29 to 79?
You did.
Okay. That's that. I'm happy about that. Thank you.
I once went to the Hollywood Bowl for like a night of Henry Mancini. I don't know why I went. A friend had tickets.
Sure.
They played Moon River. Uh-huh. Worst song I've ever heard.
That's the worst song
it's
you've
so
ever heard?
So boring. It's like something you would play when you're like putting your dog down. It's so
that's
awful.
Exactly what it's for.
Where you're like, oh, I need the right song. I have the right song for this moment.
Yeah. It's just like so dreary. And it feels like the drugs are killing you, but in a fog. It's like something like, I don't know, grim about Moon River.
It's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
It's not an upbeat song. It.
You've never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's?
I've only seen the scenes they showed in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, when they only show the what's his face?
Mickey Rooney.
Oh, Mickey Rooney.
The awful, terrible Mickey Rooney scene. So that's kind of put me off ever since. And I've like, oh, I don't need to see that. I saw the terrible racist scenes in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, a movie I used to love. I don't know if it holds up. My score staying the same. All right. Okay. Musical potential. Could you turn this documentary has there ever been a documentary turned into a musical?
Yeah, Grey Gardens.
Oh, right. I think you could. I would like, you'd almost have to do it through the eyes of Crystal LaBeija, though. You know what I mean? Like that struggle is the most interesting thing.
Create a narrative and round out the world, I think.
But it'd be fun to do like, oh, we're in the audience for
right. Yeah,
pageants. That's easy peasy.
Absolutely.
Do it at the town hall.
Well, there was a
oh my god, meta
musical called Pageant in the
right
90s, right? There was like a off Broadway.
Like a pageant, but it was drag queens. Were they I never saw it. Were they drag queens in the like within the world of the show or were
they they were
trying to be women?
Yes, yeah.
Gotcha.
That's fun.
So I think the musical potential is high.
Especially the era too is such an interesting time.
It's just like the looks and like it's so easy to justify any song. It's just a queen is doing that song now. There's like an opening.
Like it's
number.
Just like basically The Help, except the white drag queens are the villains.
Sure.
I've also never seen The Help.
I haven't either.
No, not me either.
I was just going with it.
I've read the log line once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that like Crystal LaBeija's aria at the end.
Oh my god.
It's just like the 11 o'clock like
11 that, o'clock 11 number. O'clock
number.
What do we say?
There you go.
Like memory? Is memory an 11 o'clock number?
It is.
Yeah.
And then, I'm telling you, is that an 11 o'clock?
No, movie? That's an Act One
God
closer.
Damn it. Thought I had it.
You were close. You're good.
It's only at the end of Act Two. So sorry, Eric.
That's okay.
It's like, it's usually the next to last number
of the whole entire show.
Correct.
Oh, and yeah, I am. When does, so, and I'm telling you,
it ends Act One.
Oh, then freak. So that's like a 5 o'clock number.
Yes. 5 o'clock. As opposed to, how long do you think musicals are? You think Act Two is 6 hours?
Phantom of the Opera felt like it was 7 hours. I feel like my ass is still in that seat. Mm-hmm. Musical potential. Sorry, cut you off numerous
times.
0 to 10.
I'm going to say, just because the book would need significant work, I'm going to say like 9.
Significant work, you mean it needs to exist.
You need to, right?
Yeah.
To create it.
Someone has to write it.
I mean, I think that's also a product of like documentaries back then where they were just like, well, we'll just record what happens. And I feel like now they're like, we know going like,
John, they still make documentaries like this. This style has not gone out of style.
I don't think it's as
popular. I just don't think you're watching them. Are you watching mostly like true crime? Because that's where they still do that.
I think most documentaries still have like, this is the story we're going to tell when they go into it.
I think you're choosing a story just by where you point the
camera.
But
I think there's more like, people need to be like, we need to have these moments. You know what I mean? As opposed to like, I think the Queen was very lucky that they have the Crystal LaBeija moment. Absolutely. But I think like, I think now if you were to make it, you would be more specific of like, going into it, you'd be like, all right, this queen, this is going to be their story. And we're going to see this one deal with their family.
Even a reality show. I don't think like necessarily every documentarian is so.
I think a lot of documentaries. I think it's more. I think that's it. I think it's, there's more thought that goes into pre-production of documentaries now than there was that.
I mean, there could have been with this too. We don't know that there wasn't. Especially when they have less film to play with. You know what I mean? You don't have as much. You have to shoot so much less footage back then. You don't have the luxury now of just video where you can shoot forever. Like, you almost have to plan more back then.
But I don't think they did.
I bet they did. They got to plan a documentary. You got to plan it.
I think they just like planned the beats, but they didn't plan like this person. This is. I think there's just more.
They didn't plan storylines.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll give it a 10. I think it 10. Becomes a musical.
You got to do a lot of work, though. So I'll give it an 8.
It's not. It's musical potential. Like, I think it would be a great musical. I don't think just like the fact that you have to do some work to make it, it should count against it.
It has before in the past.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah, it has.
Well, it'd be like it'd be like, oh, it's all about.
We've
surfing,
said before
so
when
make
like
it?
We've said before like, oh, but you would have to like come up with a storyline. We've said that
you
before.
Have to like change it completely. I don't think you have to change anything about this movie. You just have to like fill stuff out, which is different than being like, oh, nothing happens. So you'd have to make it a totally different story to make it a musical.
That's still going to stick with 8.
All right.
Okay, got an average of 9, which is 0.67 points less than Back to the Beach. But that has Annette Funicello doing ska. So, mm-hmm. All right, our next category, Queer Menace. Well, here we go. This is your two men on the street.
Yeah.
They're experiencing a queer menace, I feel like.
I feel like also Crystal LaBeija just like for yes. calling everything out at
yes.
the end.
Burning it all down.
Yeah. I think that is a
it's like Carrie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
At the end of at the prom.
Because she's really like the outsider within like the group within the group of outsiders.
And it's also not that she's not just like losing her mind out of control, screaming and swearing. How she is reading them to filth is so funny.
Yeah.
What she is saying is so funny and good.
Right. Yeah. And
that
true.
It's and true. And like she's telling the truth. And like everyone's just like, oh, Crystal, you're just jealous. Like even the Wikipedia or like the log line of the movie is like they refer to it as like her jealousy. It's like, it's not jealousy. It's outrage over the math.
Yeah. Like it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, not to not defend Crystal LaBeija, but we haven't seen everything, so we don't know. Like, maybe Crystal LaBeija's talent was not very good.
I mean, just by the wigs alone.
Sure.
Her wig was like 3 times the size of the next person's wig.
Yeah.
And that makes it better?
For drag, for Miss Camp? Yes, absolutely. For the Miss Camp pageant, the bigger wig? Yes, that makes it better. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that makes
it
better.
Wow, so bold, so brave.
Thank you. Where's my Peabody?
Well, I think that as somebody in the movie points out, Harlow is an NBW.
Yes.
A natural beauty wonder. And we're rewarding that rather than drag for that.
Well,
like,
it is,
you know,
10
like,
points and everything else is just 5.
Sure.
But Harlow seemed very boring in the movie. I'll say that too.
Yeah.
And like the one who most looked like Twiggy naturally.
Right.
which is sort of like the beauty standard of the time.
Of the time, yeah.
And I think that that's just like natural NBW. That's not work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just existing.
Just born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline?
No, it's natural.
Oh, it's not Maybelline. Sorry. I misinterpreted this. So what do you want to give this for Queer Menace?
Out of what is this? Out of 10?
Zero to 10.
I have to reward that read at the end. So I have to say 10.
A 10.
I will go 9.
9? I'm giving it a 10. John, why do you hate this movie so much?
All right, I'll give it a 10 as well. 10's across the board.
10's across the board. Speaking of Paris is Burning. All right, the next category. Character actress makes a big swing. I mean, in a way, you could almost like give this to Crystal LaBeija.
Absolutely. That's what I wrote it for, you know? My notes is it's all Crystal LaBeija.
Yeah.
Because how daring is that, too, like to just do it in front of everyone? You know what I mean? It wasn't just like she was like, yes, she was. It was like backstage, but like she just walked off stage in the midst of it as like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Showmanship.
I also think that there's like a big swing to be had in just like throwing this pageant in the first place.
Absolutely.
Like from Sabrina.
I wondered how many, like, I wish I knew, like how many, like, was this the first one? Like how many of the, like, which?
I don't think it was like, the first one.
But it can't
be. I don't know why I think that.
Many, if
you know what I mean?
If Jack is the National Alliance, the National Academy, at one point he's like, the National Academy is me. Like, right. He's the organization that puts it together, and he's 24. So I would say there's probably, this is the third.
Sure.
But he did at one point say that he had been doing them since he was like 17.
And there's a poster on the wall behind it, although I don't remember the year on that poster for it, if it is like for the upcoming one or not. Well, character actress makes a big swing.
10.
10.
I will also give it a 10.
I mean, yeah, that monologue. There's a reason that when the movie came out a couple of years ago, that clip went viral, made the rounds, which it's a lot. Makes a lot more sense once you see it in context too. It's a lot more rewarding once you see like the build up to it. And like, oh, this character has been signed. They've been like, haven't been given a voice for the first like hour of the movie. So it just feels like it's been built up the whole time. All right. Our next category, macabre. How macabre is the queen?
The hotels are really kind of dark and spooky.
Mm-hmm.
New York at the time.
That harsh lighting.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I think that's why I get a fall.
I mean, the racism is macabre, but overall, the tone of the movie isn't like a heavy tone at all. It's just like a pretty campy behind-the-scenes look at a pageant being put together. It's not like a heavy movie.
Yeah, it's not. 3?
A 3.
I'll go 4.
4. I'll go 3.
There's like a scene where two of them are like lounging on a bed talking. I think it's when they're talking about if they would want to get sex changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of them, I'm trying to figure out what he's doing. He has something that I didn't know if they were like smelling salts. It's like a thing. Yeah. It was like something that it was like a little white thing that he kept like kind of sniffing on a little bit every once in a while.
Huh.
I don't
old
know if that's
poppers.
Yeah, I don't know if that's there's some
a popper stick when they used.
What did they call it back then? Because they didn't have video head cleaners back then.
Leather polish.
This is my leather polish.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I give it a 3. All right, our next category. I think you'll make up a lot of points here. Gay actors playing gay roles.
10.
But in a way, though, aren't these gay actors playing straight roles when they're being the women?
They could be playing lesbians.
I'm just trying that other. I don't necessarily believe that.
Okay. Oh, you're right. But that is a good point. I think we're talking about like, would they cast straight?
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things where I was like, how do you judge this movie on that? Because it is a documentary.
Yeah.
I guess we are seeing them in like, oh, drag queens portrayed by, I mean, they're doing gay jobs. You know what I mean? Like in the book of gay
was
careers.
A hairdresser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are gay roles and like roles in society. And we don't have, it's not like Celebrity Drag Race where they bring in like, oh, a straight guy from Schitt's Creek.
Right.
You know, like, oh, good. How's, oh, and he did fine. Great. I feel nothing.
When a team of people dressed him and did his makeup, he looked,
what did he
okay?
overcome exactly? Nothing. What is he subverting? Nothing. Oh, okay. Cool. There's a new season. Are we going to watch it? I don't know.
That of Celebrity Drag Race? Rough.
Yeah. Really? Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
I haven't watched any of the celebrity ones.
There was only the one, wasn't it?
It was pretty. It was like one season, but it was like four episodes, and each episode sort of rebooted. So it wasn't like celebrities competing, and like each episode was its own thing.
They had like three each episode, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like people came back week after week.
You couldn't get audience. You couldn't see their growth. Yeah, yeah. You couldn't watch them evolve. Mm-hmm. I still want to say 10 for this one.
I think
I do too, because it's also like, it's such a gay world. You know what I mean? Like it's, I don't know. Yeah. I'll give it a 10 as well.
I too will give it a 10. All right. Now we are into the iconic category.
So these categories are larger, more wide umbrella categories. So we're judging them from 0 to 225.
What?
Okay. Yeah. You're behind on your episodes, Eric.
I guess so. I'm sorry.
Wow. This is so telling.
All right. Okay.
The first category on a scale of 0 to 225, how would you score the queen in homoeroticism?
Oh,
it's not very homoerotic. It's not. I mean, they kind of lay around in bed, but it just feels like chums more. It's not erotic.
There's like some people in their underwear, and Eric certainly was.
He liked those twinks under a fog.
Some people caught his eye.
Yeah. Please, God is done with the flood in Idaho.
People are going to be watching these twinks, Eric was saying. People can't stop watching these twinks.
Okay. Can I just say 100? It's the other 225?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's high, but I feel like those people were fully realized people who like talked about, like they didn't really talk about their sex lives, but they did talk about like husbands and,
and
stuff like that. So I feel like there was definitely like gay sex happening and nobody, but it wasn't.
I hope so.
Yeah. There was a lot of gay sex happening, but just, it was not the focus of the weekend.
They had busier. They had to find a fall.
Yeah. It's a life or death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if Crystal hadn't had her monologue, it probably would have turned into a big fuck fest.
Yeah.
There was a party
afterwards.
Sure.
And I feel like the mention of like their corners and their favorite YMCA.
That's true. Yeah.
They're like, they're
something like, okay.
They didn't have sniffies back then.
No.
Word of mouth. Literally word of mouth.
These are all sexually active, fully rounded out people.
What a great time. Pre-AIDS, pre-sex won't kill you. Like, amazing.
Right. Yeah, you just go to the clinic for something.
Yeah, get a little shot, some penicillin, you'll be fine. That's the best part of reading, I'm sure I mentioned, the Tales of the City.
Oh, yeah.
That's the early, like, 70s ones. Like, you can get a great apartment for, like, $100 a month.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Ugh, what a dream.
And then you're like, oh, girl, I got parasites again.
Yeah.
Just have to take a pill. Come out to my balcony and talk about it.
Well, John, what do you want to give it for homoeroticism?
Yeah, I don't think it's like a homoerotic movie. I'm going to go 65.
More homoerotic than Back to the Beach?
Yeah.
I guess you could write fan fiction about what happens.
Mm-hmm, right. Back to the Beach, there's like no homosexuality.
Well, there's, you know, Hawkeyes. I'll give it a 50. Giving it a 71.67, which is 10 points lower than Back to the Beach. All right, our next category. I think you're going to make up a lot of points here. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch The Queen and come away with a whole book of ideas?
225.
I'm also 225.
I, too, will give it 220. But like, I don't think they're coming away with like ideas for looks necessarily, but just like inspired by like the history, what it all means, the cultural moment.
But some looks,
you know,
as well. There's definitely some fun looks and fun just like overall fashion.
Yeah, I feel like there's like fun, like there's like some Lady Bunny.
Right.
Like Lady Bunny could get inspiration.
It all feels though like it's interesting just to like chart how drag has evolved too. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're not like heightening it too much. Like it's almost like a literal translation of what you actually see
in
life.
It's just like a slightly heightened from like
very slightly, I would say.
It's still a very shiny, sparkly heightening, you know, but it's not.
You're still in a pageant. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Which is heightened, but yeah.
Yeah, the fact that like you're wearing like a bathing suit with heels is heightened. because
but it's also like you're watching, it's like, oh, none of them are wearing pads. Like you see this one scene where this one is trying to put a bra on that is like way too like small for him, and he like, and it's just, it looks so sad and ridiculous, but it's like, oh, today they just like put on this breastplate, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's also, there's like a shot of somebody's like knee in like kind of like ill-fitting stockings at one point, like backstage, where it's like they're just like, there's somebody's old stockings that they're just like
their mother like, was like threw them out and they like fished them out of the trash.
Ill-fitting stockings, drag queen name. Think about
there's some inspiration there.
I just got inspired.
Okay.
I also gave it a 225, giving it 225, making it 23.33 points higher than All About Eve. Eat shit, Margo Channing. All right, now our next category. This will probably be brand new to you, Eric, because you've been MIA for the last five episodes. Queer 101. Is this like an essential text? Like if you're teaching a queer 101 class, would you show the queen? Like
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because of everything that we've been talking about, like sort of like the racial stuff that's woven into it and the like everything. It's queer 101, definitely. How many points is this?
225.
I'm gonna say 225.
225, you
said. I'm also gonna say 225.
I too will say 225. Giving an average 225, tying it with All About Eve.
Okay.
And also 219 points higher than Back to the Beach. So now Annette Funicello's eating shit.
Like right, it's the first read caught on film. Crystal LaBeza, like it, that we're aware of. Yeah, we're right. Yeah.
Well, full on. I'm sure in the 30s there are some movies where some like gay costume designer was like, I don't know.
Wow,
like,
John, so fierce.
Filth to filth.
He dragged her. That's the equivalent of like not sushing somebody, but just like looking over your shoulder quickly. Right. All right. Got a 225 and queer one. And finally, the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is the queen?
I mean, it's the
Miss America,
All America Camp Beauty Camp contest.
But there's a part of it. I was like, oh, this like show itself, or at least what they're showing, isn't that camp? I guess the fact that it exists is the camp.
Yeah,
like they're getting a fall is life or death.
I'm just talking about the pageant itself, like the show itself that's called Miss Camp America. It doesn't quite seem like, oh, this isn't that camp. Like
I think for the time it was. I think like there's a time in which it was so like this is also the thing too of like. These people, like now you have the internet and all this stuff and TV shows. So like you can build off of that. Whereas like all these people were sort of like creating their stuff in more of a vacuum.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's hard. Like it wasn't as easy to be inspired by other people to go farther and to like right, share ideas even farther.
But this is also post. We've had Batman, the 1966 TV series. So camp was in the element. Camp was around.
Very campy. There's a lot of bugle beads. I mean, you have your stage manager is in drag. That's pretty campy.
That's campy. There's also somebody that they refer to, Cupcake Cassidy.
They drag her how she puts her coat work.
Yeah, her her dropping her boa or whatever. That title. Yeah. So I feel like Cupcake Cassidy is pretty campy intentionally. Yeah.
And just the read at the end, there's some so camp about that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think also like the confrontation, like confronting the cameraman in a documentary to weigh in on whether or not you think that it was fair, I think is like, that's good. That's hell on heels too.
Absolutely.
It's being like, don't hide behind the camera. Do you think that was fair?
Breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
I don't have to respect this documentary. Yeah. What do I give a shit about?
Yeah. This is out of 225. I'm going to say 195.
195.
I'm going to say 215.
215. Almost, but not quite. All right, we've already mentioned a ton of this, so this is a very much edited down camp list.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm getting good.
Good. It's edited down.
No.
That's a read.
Edit that.
I was hoping that I would get one of these on this episode. So good. So thank you. Okay.
All right, here we go. Watching a literal bubble burst, combing a wig, having to ask beauty contestants not to cruise, documentary voiceover getting saucy, turning around in your seat to tell your friends not to forget the stuff that covers up beards, practicing your honey bun song in a hotel room, drawing out, announcing a winner, smoking during dance rehearsal, needing spirit gum immediately, pre-show jitters, and finally, everything Crystal LaBeija says, but especially, look at her makeup. It's terrible.
Oh, that was so good.
So I'll give it a 205.
Okay.
Finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories we don't rate. We just say we think yes or no gets it.
Okay.
All right. The first one, a 50% bonus of all the points for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does the queen have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I would say so. How's it not? All right, then finally...
We got 50% of our total points.
We've pumped that up 50%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Okay.
All right. Finally, negative 50% of all the points. If this is the movie Stonewall.
Well, oh, Stonewall hadn't even happened yet. So yeah. No, this is not the movie Stonewall.
Thank you. Respecting history. How dare you, category? How dare you? all right. That's it. We're done. John, how do you think we did?
I think we're in the top 10. I think the wheel was against us. So I think, I don't know if it's the top five, but it's definitely top 10. How about you, Eric? What do you think?
I'm hoping for fifth, but we might be more like seventh or eighth.
We should also say, like, the range, once you get into the top 10, it's like goes from 94 to 86-ish, like, percent. So, like, it gets very thin. So I think, like, those, well, I'll just tell you how it did. All right.
Okay.
How about that? Okay, out of a total possible 3,402.08 points, the Queen has scored 2,941.42 points, giving it a percentage of 86.21%, making it the 10th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Death Becomes Her, but gayer than The Lost Boys. And I would say it's the lack of homoerotism, I think, is really the death knell there.
I think that's what, because it got us in a couple of different places, sort of like the gays.
Like homoeroticism, the gays.
Yeah.
But 10th place, a good showing.
I think to be top 10,
What's the matter, good. John? Disappointed?
I mean, I think it's gayer than Death Becomes Her, but I also don't like that movie, so.
You liked it when we recorded the podcast.
I think I was being nicer to it because everyone thinks it's so great, but I sort of feel like
have you lied before, John, on the podcast? I would hope you're always honest, John.
I'm with you. I think that Death Becomes Her is just okay, and the same with that.
Those are lunatics. I think the Queen is gayer than Death Becomes. Like, I think if we rescored the Queen, like with these new categories and scoring, it wouldn't be as high. That's another thing we should think about. Yeah, Death Becomes Her. Like, if we that is another thing to consider, rescoring things that are maybe too high. You know what I mean? That's another episode to consider.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reason to be depressed. God, these long faces. God, Jesus Christ.
We're in the top 10, you guys. It's really...
Yeah, we're in the top 10, John. Buck up.
Out of how many?
Look at Death Becomes Her. Her makeup is horrible.
Death Becomes Her rules.
I would call her one of the uglier people in the universe. Or something like that.
It's so good. That I was thinking, like, oh, that'd be a fun, like, because on Drag Race a couple weeks ago, they did, like, a Designing Women monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this Crystal LaBeija read would That's be a perfect. Great one to do.
Oh, yeah.
Or is it maybe two hat on a hat?
Well, what's her name? Asha did her for Snatch Game.
That's right. From the House of LaBeija.
That's true.
Pay respect. Speaking of respect,
we got an email
from Aretha Franklin.
I don't know why we waited so long to read this, but
I tell you, those outboxes are really taking a long time to cycle.
This is from Dana. Dana writes us, and the title is Gay Movie Suggestion, Star Trek 2. Dana writes, guys, I'd like to nominate Star Trek II Wrath of Khan as being the gayest movie ever. Guys, this movie is so gay. Two bachelors fighting over a missile.
True.
One heads a band of shaven chest men in frosted tips clad from head to toe in repurposed furniture. The other's a stickler for the military who goes into a cave, finds a boy, and emerges rejuvenated. Lady Vulcans, worms in ears, getting beamed. And what's gayer than lasers? Set phasers to fun and cruise the galaxy for fresh adventures. Love permanently and forever, Dana.
I think
wow,
Dana's, your
thanks,
new,
Dana.
Dana's your new copywriter.
Yeah, that right. Like right really well done.
Yeah.
Dana.
I think that's a great choice. I haven't seen Wrath of Khan in years.
I rewatched it like a month ago.
Unsurprising.
Unsurprising. I like nerdy thing. It is pretty gay. I mean, talk about Ricardo Montalban is wearing a breastplate.
Oh, really? That's not a fake chest.
Yeah, that's a fake chest.
Oh, wow. Can you really tell in the Blu-ray?
No, it's seamless. You know, they had craftsmen back then.
That, yeah.
You know,
then CGI will fix it. No.
It's either now or never, baby. It is pretty, I mean, it's probably the gayest Star Trek movie. Is it the gayest movie ever? Probably not.
But
it might be the, it's very fun. It's super campy, but also a really well done starship battle at the end. If you're a fan of Master and Commander, Far Side of the World, check out that final starship battle at the end of Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. Just me, fan of Master and Commander, Far Side of the World. Good movie. Holds up.
What is it?
Russell Crowe, naval battle movie.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, sure. Tip of everybody's tongue, that film.
Yeah.
That is a great suggestion.
That is a great suggestion.
We've never done a Star Trek movie.
We haven't. No one's brought one in.
Rude.
Yeah, I feel like there's not a lot of sci-fi on your
list. There isn't.
Well, it's Queen's Choice this month,
Mark. It's Queen's Choice.
Two movies. Who knows?
I do.
You can bring them in.
I don't think I am bringing. I'm not bringing in anything sci-fi, though. I have brought in sci-fi in the past, though. Alien Covenant.
Oh, right.
Mm.
Well, Eric, speaking of covenants, is there anything you like to, what a delight. It's so wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
I had such a blast. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
No, don't look at me, please.
Don't even look at him. He's not some twink in a 1968 documentary.
Don't.
Idaho is fine.
Yeah. No, I'm just super excited to be here. This was really fun. This is now I can check that off my things.
You're not
going to
go wandering into
your things
the river
to do
now,
today.
Yeah, my things to do today.
I can finally check that off.
My Wednesday is complete.
Well, you're going to hit us up at Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens, and follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, or you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. If we got anything wrong, any movies you'd like to suggest, we love hearing from you.
We want to hear about it. And we also got a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/twooldqueens. We've got all sorts of fun things. We have a whole series on Nightmare on Elm Street, all of them.
All of the Nightmare on Elm Street, all the Child's Plays. We got some Sondheim musicals in there.
Absolutely. There's a lot of fun, a lot of good, solid, a lot of heavy hitters tucked away in that Patreon,
true.
I would say.
Absolutely. And we also have merch. If you go to Two Old Queens, go to Tee Public and search for Two Old Queens. There's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out. Get some Eat Shit Funny Girl merch and be
topical.
all of your theater parties and gatherings. You'll be all the.
How do we get Beanie Feldstein?
I know. We need to send her
question.
Something. We need to get her a hoodie or something like that.
Anybody has access to Beanie Feldstein's people or P.O. Box?
Let us know. We will just send it to her.
Or does anyone have an IMDb Pro subscription? You can look that up. We really appreciate that. But that's it for us. We'll see you next time. Or John's next Queen's Choice will be on the Patreon next week.
That's true. Yes.
Do you want to reveal it now?
Yeah, sure.
I've already picked it. We are going back to, speaking of eating shit, Funny Girl, we're going to do the sequel to Funny Girl, Funny Lady.
This is cruel. And how long is it, John?
It is 2 hours and 15 minutes, I believe.
Jesus Christ.
Twice as long as the Queen. Perfect.
I'm half as good as, if I'm being generous, I would have been.
I'm going in with an open mind.
Oh,
you absolutely are, Mark. You've certainly proved that.
I always go in with an open mind.
You do not.
I want prove I don't.
You just now said, it's half as good.
Of course, I'm always going to go for the joke first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not an open mind then.
Going for the joke first? I don't think that logic tracks. Anyways, we'll see you next time. Stay safe, everybody. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.